Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Father of five, trying to raise my children in a techno age with a concept of family relationships, and I'm having a hard time at it, friends. And I'm guessing a lot of other families are having a similarly difficult time trying to raise their children, disciple their children, with all of the opportunities for not only displacing a proper biblical worldview with worldly concepts, but also just the fact that we're not learning, we're not living in relational contexts. Well, that's the way it is with the internet today. That's the way it was with television back in the 60s and 70s. Eventually, entertainment became less and less family-oriented. Children began to get their own television sets in all their bedrooms. Eventually, they wound up with television sets in their vans. And then they got their iPods, knee pods, and now you've got your little television screens where you can sit there and watch your television screen or listen to your music and have your own existentialistic, me-centered experience and not be caring a whit about what anybody else is thinking around you. Of course, Dave, these are cultural experiences that that link people to technology. They link people to ideas that are not necessarily held by their own parents, by their own friends, by their own church, but ideas that are just floating around out there. And they're gaining relationships with television announcers, radio announcers, or media stars that really have no personal connection with their family. They don't have relationships with pastors anymore. They don't have relationships with grandmas and grandpas. They don't have relationships with neighbors, talking over the back fence for an hour or two, just kind of getting to know the neighbors. They don't have relationships with their own mothers and fathers anymore. If they need a counselor, they'll go pay $200 an hour for some professional out there to deal with their issues. He'll give them drugs, and they'll get drugged into a haze and eventually wind up back on the internet, and they're zoned out and escaped from reality and relationships. And Dave, that's pretty much the direction that our families, I think, are going, that are linked into the internet, television, movies, and the modern media systems.
Kevin, I think you're right that culturally we have become more and more desegregated as families. It started maybe with television. Maybe it was even before that with the printed book. You know, everyone could sit in a corner and read their own book.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have a conversation with them because they had a book in their face. I know my brother particularly, as I was growing up, usually had a book in his face. And so we didn't have as many conversations as we might have otherwise. You know, if he was out reading the Hardy Boys series 8 hours a day, he's very engaged in that reading, but he's not very engaged in the relationship. And then we have the televisions, and of course, you're engaged in somebody else's life. The internet started out, of course, as a academic tool, but now it has worked its way into our phones to where people can watch movies, have video conversations. They are alone in their own little world, even as they're with everybody else on their phones. So you can't even control the internet as a parent like you might have been able to control their library materials. They have far more independence. The technology has worked in such a way that you can get around parental controls. You can get around your company's controls. The idea that you can choose and have it your way seems to be the MO. Now, what are the ideas? Well, the ideas in the print and the ideas in electronic are some of the same ideas. But, Kevin, I think there's something else operating here, and we don't talk about this very much. The internet teaches us, much like television did, to have a short attention span.
Yeah.
As we're reading through something, we have hyperlinks. We have other stories. We have all this experiential stuff that it wants to take you to this place and then this place and this place. And in order to manage your time, it's 30 seconds here. It's 10 seconds here. It's 15 seconds here. I got to open up 27 tabs. It's different than when you read a book and you would read it from start to finish. Books don't have hyperlinks.
I find that these young people today have a hard time communicating in sentences larger than 5-6 words at a time. They might have a little soundbite here, get a little soundbite there, but they have a very difficult time linking ideas and forming paragraphs in the spoken word. It's very, very difficult, I think, in this day and age to teach people to think and to speak in a halfway decent manner. Last night I was watching a blip from one of the most important governors, one of the best governors probably in America today, and yet I noticed he could not speak very well at all. He wasn't able to put long sentences together. He seemed to break up his sentences pretty quickly. He seemed to move from idea to an idea quickly. It was just almost like he was on the internet and he was moving from site to site, from concept to concept, and he was just unable to pull together ideas and communicate those ideas. And if that's the way our governors are today, Dave, I wonder how everything's going to be in another 20, 30 years. What we're seeing, I think, is a breakdown in communication, a breakdown in the ability to think, to communicate, and ultimately to lead families and nations in the years to come. So I think we've got a breakdown of understanding, a breakdown of knowledge, a breakdown of education. Of course, we see that in the public schools. But compare your average political speech today to the average political speech in 1820 or 1798. You would find that the talks, the speeches that they gave back then were far, far more complex. The ideas were far more intricate than they are today as people try to communicate things, whether they're building businesses, building countries, or just trying to put a family together and communicate basic theological, spiritual terms.
Well, Kevin, we see this devolution through the different technology platforms. We start off with email, where you have a chance to write a letter, albeit a typed letter. But you move from there then to the instant messaging, which is shorter. And now the most important governor, you say, like Governor Palin right now, is making a splash off of Twitter, which is, 164 characters or something?
Yeah, but even emails, I mean, think of your average email. Your average email is six sentences, four words each. And at the end, you say TTFN, you know. So, you know, what is that? That's not really communication. That's sort of the caveman, you know, grunting at each other and communicating some things. And granted, email was not intended. And that's, I think, an important point. Email was not really intended to be extensive communications concerning one's feelings, concerning ideas, concerning the development of very complex ideas that might take three, four pages to bring about.
Now, email wasn't intended for that, and please don't send me emails that are three, four pages trying to develop ideas. Email works really good as a tool to say, I have a meeting a certain time to relay certain facts. It's not a communication-building tool. It's a fact-providing tool. My point is that we've gone from that downward to instant messaging, which is even more brief, to the point where Governor Palin is making political news off of tweets. Yeah. And in a tweet, you have no chance to develop an idea. All you have to do is a chance to throw out a bumper sticker. We've become a bumper sticker society.
This is the deconstruction of language. It's the deconstruction of a nation, friends. It's the deconstruction of civilization. And it's happening quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. I have no idea what's going to happen by the year 2045. But I will tell you, it's important for at least a few families to unplug the internets, unplug the iPhones, and unplug the iPods. Begin to establish relationships with people. Relationships are the basis for civilizations. That's why we talk about families all the time. The technology is not helpful. It's not helping us form strong families. In just a few minutes, I'm going to be unplugging the internet right here in this basement, Dave, because we want to have some internet-free time as a family. We get sick of all this internet all the time, and we've got to run to the computer every time we have a question, every time we have some kind of curiosity that has to be fed by the internet. Now, okay, if we've got six or seven things that we need to take care of, we'll write those down, and we'll take care of them in the evening. We'll turn on the internet for half an hour this evening, and we'll deal with that later on. But we don't need to be off and on the internet all the time, to the point where we're heavily visual oriented, to the point where we're not able to accomplish very much. It's extremely, extremely inefficient when you're constantly on that internet, and to the point where you're unable to establish meaningful relationships with your own family members. Friends, I mean, it may come to the point where you got to take a gun and shoot that internet router. I mean, it may come to the point where you're going to have to take some radical measures if you're going to salvage your family. Folks, we'll be back in just a moment to talk a little bit more about relationships and the media, and more importantly, what are we supposed to be doing with our families, and that is reading the Word of God. Be back in just a moment.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing
that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trustest to the book called the Scriptures, thou trustest to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Folks, the Generations Radio broadcast trying to bring relationships back to a lost and lonely world. We are lonely. We are seeing the fragmentation of families and family relationships. Half of marriages end in divorce. 70% of children will not grow up with mother and father. And I'd say 95% will grow up with iPods, and they will not have a means of establishing cultural relationships with their own parents. They'll be a product of pop culture. They won't be a product of parents. That'll be the vast majority of people being raised in the 90s and the 2000s. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we got to restore relationships in an age where 7 times the percentage of people are living alone right now as were 100 years ago. 7 times the percentage of people are living alone now as were 100 years ago. We're living the loneliest time, as far as I'm concerned, in all of human history. So what does that mean? What it means is somebody's got to bring relationships back. Okay, relationships are important for life. You don't have relationships, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to see chaos in society. You're going to see the family destroyed. Oh, that's already destroyed. I'm sorry. You're going to see people lonely. You're going to see people depressed. My guess is you're going to see about 20 times the kids on psychotropic drugs as were 20 years ago, which actually is the case. Actually, 10 years ago. 20 times the kids on psychotropic drugs as 10 years ago. That's what you're going to see, okay? You like that? You like that kind of a world? I mean, if you plug your kids in to television, no internet, no all the games, and they just zone out and addict themselves to these mind-draining, relationship-less games. Are you okay with them on psychotropic drugs from the time they're 25 years old till they're 42 and they die? Are you okay with that? Or would you like them living in relationships? In relationships as God designed them in families? Okay, the modern world doesn't understand this at all. David, it comes down to the fact the modern world is constructed by the worldview of Cain. Cain killed relationship with his brother. He killed relationship with his brother. And then he went out like a vagabond into the world and built a city. And then he built anonymous city relationships. And then he built anonymous megachurch relationships. And then he built anonymous cultural experiences by means of iPods and by means of derelationalized living in the modern world. And then he destroyed the family by creating polygamy in the, fourth or fifth generation from him. And then once you had polygamy, you programmed relationships with wives. You didn't have one wife and one husband becoming one flesh anymore. Then you had a disintegration of the family. Of course, we've had a lot of other ways in which we disintegrate the family in the modern world with homosexuality and everything else. And the shack up right now through the ceiling and the nuclear family now making up less than half of American households as of 2008. Okay, that's where we are right now. We've derelationalized lives. So somebody's going to have to do something different. All right? Somebody's going to have to do something different. And I'm about ready to unplug the internet permanently, Dave, in this house.
Well, that's a decision that every father needs to make, what influences they're going to bring into their house and how they're going to raise their children and shepherd their family. I think the dangers of the internet or the technologies associated to it should be recognized for what they are. They're dangerous. I've asked a lot of young men about Facebook. Interesting. You know, I don't allow my children to have a Facebook account. I've asked them, why do they have Facebook? What compels them to spend so much time in these virtual relationships? And they come up with justifications like, well, it's a great way to communicate to a lot of people at once. But I point out to them, you're not writing them a letter. You're writing something out for the whole world to see. You're not having a relationship anymore as you're writing a diary and publishing it. That's not like writing a letter to grandma. You can friend and defriend. You have these whole virtual worlds that suck you away from the real world of flesh and blood, where your brothers and sisters and your brothers and sisters in Christ who you worship with are yet just these little avatars on the screen. I mean, to get upset because you are defriended by a little teensy-weensy avatar seems to be a little silly to me. And so that's what danger of virtual relationships that eclipse real relationships that don't deal with real forgiveness, where you don't go to your brother, rather you just make a post. I see this in the more academic world, too. Rather than having a debate, a scholastic debate of correspondence, of speaking to, sitting down in office, hashing out ideas, much like the Reformation in England was founded from discussions at the White Horse Inn, what we do now is we have our own blog pages, and professors and scholastics just go ahead and write these ad hominem attacks all over these blog pages and create conflict. It's really not been all that helpful. Now, as a way to distribute ideas quickly and cheaply, the internet has no rival. But it's changed the news cycle. It's changed relationships. It's changed communication. It is rare these days to receive a handwritten letter that somebody took the care and skill to actually form letters with pen and ink and put a stamp on it and send it. Instead, what do we get? We get these little trite emails or tweets.
Dave, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. I'm afraid a lot of people wearing milk-bone pajamas. These dogs are going to come after them and eat them alive. And I think the average family does not understand that these systems have been designed to destroy your children, destroy your families. If they're not destroyed by the public schools, they'll be destroyed by television and by movies. If they're not destroyed by television and movies, they'll be destroyed by the internet. If they're not destroyed by the internet, they'll be destroyed by their iPods and by their music. If they're not destroyed by that, they'll be destroyed by something. You got to understand, friends, there are multiple forces, lots and lots of institutionalized forces that are funded by trillions and trillions of dollars that are there to destroy you. Unless you get a little bit of discernment here, you can't be naive in these things. You're going to be eaten alive by these dragons. Your families are going to be destroyed. David, we got to do something. I think it's important for families to make decisions concerning all these things for themselves. And their children will oftentimes be damaged goods. Sometimes they can sort of control that damage to some extent. But I think you've got to put some real structures in place and really deliberately, intentionally do your best to establish relationships with your children and do exactly what the Word of God tells us to do, and that is to teach our children God's Word as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. And that doesn't mean we do it by chats. We don't do it by tweets. We sit down in the house and we teach our children. We open the Word of God and teach them the Word of God as we sit in the house.
You know, Kevin, I liken it to if every foul book ever published was available at the library, would you drop your kids off at the door and let them run around with all the worldly ideas, with all the pornography, with all the hatred of parents? And of course, those covers are going to be the glossy, the most compelling. Are you going to let them run around that library unsupervised? Well, of course not. Of course, a parent wouldn't want to protect their child from ideas. Well, the internet is that library. Any foul idea that has fire and brimstone smell is on the internet, and some of them look better than others. They're there, and we have to be parents. We have to protect our children because the wolf that is seeking to devour our children is often electronic, and he appears through the corridor of the internet frequently. But the internet has another problem. It distracts you. Now, I was reading a very interesting article that was written by a pastor reviewing the Kindle. And, you know, you see a pastor reviewing a technological thing like the Kindle. You know, that's fascinating. Why is he writing about it? Well, pastors, at least in some of these more conservative denominations, love books. That's what they do. They go to seminary and they learn books, lots and lots of books. Kevin, you love books. You're a bibliophile.
Sure,
you got
sure.
bookcases and bookcases yeah. of books. So here's a guy looking at a book, asking, is this the next horseless carriage, the Kindle? Is it going to replace books? Because printing's expensive. Electronic printing, not so expensive. One of the things that he notes is that the Kindle tries to be more book-like than other electronic devices. It does not encourage you to hyperlink another thought. It wants you to start at the beginning and read clear to the end with very few hyperlinks. It encourages you to be off the internet or off the network that you're on for battery life. So it wants to become a flat book, even though it can hold 15,000 or 150,000 or whatever it's going to be up to in a year. Whereas other applications, he looks at the iPad from Apple, which has a similar form factor, but it's backlit instead of frontlit. It uses characters differently, but it hyperlinks all over the place. It's trying to get you back into the electronic world and out of the world of print. Electronic, print, electronic, print. So there's this war going on in the attention span and the mind of man. Will I read a newspaper article from beginning to end? Will I read a book from beginning to end? Or am I just looking for the reference, the bumper sticker quote? Very, very interesting that the Kindle is actually trying to appeal to a more literate crowd who will read something from beginning to end. That's the difference of a book experience and reading the same book on your PDF book in your Acrobat Reader on your computer, on your laptop. One wants you to stay there. The other wants to take you all over.
And Dave, another danger that I've seen is that we live in such a visual age that ever since television, we've become more and more visual. Some people say, I'm a visual learner. Some say I'm an audio learner. I'd say there's a lot more visual learners today than ever before. And that simply means that these are the people who apparently have been more drawn to television, and their ability to listen, to hear in an audio way to sermons or to reading the Word of God is not as well tuned as it should be. And Dave, let's say it again, that if we're to teach our children God's Word as we sit in the house, our children need to be good hearers of the Word. They need to be good hearers of the Word. And if they're so visual that they have to see some kind of flashing image on a screen, or they have to jerk around on the internet from scene to scene, from site to site, in order for them to be satisfied, in order for them to pick up a few things in a mental way, then I would say that you haven't trained your children properly, because it is important for our children to be good hearers of the Word of God. They should be able to sit in a Bible time period or a sermon. And I preached for about an hour and 15 minutes yesterday, Dave. I mean, it was one of the longest sermons I think I've ever preached, 75 minutes. And thank God there were many, many children in that congregation that were careful to listen. Some of them were sitting on the very front of their seats and listening almost the whole time, riveted to the sermon for 75 minutes. But not everybody. And I think it's a process. You got to teach your children how to sit and how to listen and how to listen to the Word of God read and preached.
Well, Kevin, if you are teaching your child how to read, you're not going to start them off with Augustine's City of God. You're probably going to start them out with something with shorter sentences and smaller words. And I think this is how we have to approach hearing. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God.
Yeah.
So we need to train our ears how to hear the Word of God, and not just a verse or two, but whole books. The letters of Paul were meant to be read to the churches from beginning to end in one sitting. It's interesting. Last night I was speaking about this very subject, and we decided we're going to read a whole book of the Bible. So we gathered all the young men and the ladies that were there, and we read through the entire book of Galatians. And I told them, probably we'd get done before midnight or something. And it didn't take very long. And the young men were able to pay attention. And for some of them, it was the first time they ever heard the book of Galatians read as a letter, the way it would have been read to the churches, to hear the flow and to experience the hearing of the Word. Now, I think we start like we do with a child's book, short words, short sentences, short sermons. But the idea is never to stay there. The idea is to build that and develop the sense of hearing so that we can sit through and be engaged in a long sermon, or even hearing the reading of the Word for a long period of time. The Word of God, when we read it in a worship service, should never be just something we check off. Okay, we had the reading of the Word, we're done. It ought to be central. The Word of God is Christ's words, and it should be received as the words inspired by the Holy Spirit, the words that are capable to equip us for every good work. So we need to train ourselves as hearers, even as we have to train ourselves as readers. James says, don't be hearers of the Word only. Not just don't be readers of the Word only, don't be expositors of the Word only. The idea throughout the New Testament was that we were going to be hearing the Word, the spoken Word delivered. So fathers, pastors, We ought to practice.
Yeah.
We ought to develop how we deliver the Word of God with our voices so that it's compelling with all its force.
Dave, I think this is one of the reasons why you have such a hard time in a lot of families getting children to listen, to sit still, and pay attention to the Word of God. I hear from parents, their children can't concentrate, they can't focus on what's being said. And a lot of this is because I think their children have been playing the computer games. Their children have been on the internet. Their children are watching the movies and so forth. And the experience they get when they sit and hear the Word of God being read in family Bible time, as required by God, in Romans chapter 10, as Dave just mentioned, and as in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, these kids are unable to concentrate. Their eyes are flitting around. They're wandering. They're unable to focus and hear the Word of God until those computer games are tossed out of those homes, until those plugs are yanked, and until their minds are trained again to function the way God wants them to function, and that is by sitting and listening to the Word of God for 15, 20 minutes at a time, or half an hour at a time, or 45 minutes at a time. And of course, they have a very difficult time relating to their parents in a proper family relationship because they have been sucked into the non-relational world of the internet and the pretend cultural world of escapism. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got huge problems on our hands. If we're going to retain family relationships in the generation to come, there have to be some changes that occur in families. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of families around this country. If we're going to salvage civilizations in the years to come, we're going to salvage a country, a nation in the years to come, we've got to teach our children how to listen, how to hear, and how to be discipled in the Word of God. And that's been the content of this day's discussion. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to interact with the radio program, please email me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. Folks, this program is available anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Get your friends and family members tuning in to this program as we deal with some of the most critical issues that we deal with in our society today. Get your friends and family members tuned in to us at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.